Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 5 of the Crick Picks podcast, in which I, Behram Kazi, you can find at Def Mango on Twitter, Estelle Vasudevan, who you can find at Estelle underscore Vasudev and the number 1, and then there's Jared Kimber, you can find absolutely everywhere. What we're going to be doing today is we're going to be drafting an Ultimate ODI World Cup 12, so there'll be a 12th man, we get 4 picks each, and basically you're not allowed to select 2 players from the same ODI World Cup edition. So that's the challenge, and as always, it's a snake draft, so 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1. The person who goes first gets to go 6th after, and we're starting with you today, Jared, so here we go.
This is going to shock everyone, but I'm going to go with Lance Klusener, 1999. I think it's the best World Cup anyone ever had. Also, I think there's a couple other players who had multiple good World Cups, whereas I think with Klusener, it's like, this is it, right? This is the one we're all going to remember. You know, basically didn't go out, scored at a rate that no one had ever scored at before, and also took an absolute load of wickets as well. And realistically, should have won the entire World Cup had it not been for the other 10 members of his team.
Honestly, I saw this one coming, and I had Warne 99 in here, so thanks for that. Shane Warne probably won't feature in this team anymore, but Klusener makes sense. What number do you have him on?
What number?
Like, in the batting order.
Well, it's Lance Klusener. He can bat wherever he wants, right? Like, I would probably bat him. I think if he played in modern ODI cricket, he'd bat at number 5 and number 6. And you'd use him the way that England used to use Butler, right? But that's how it would go. But he gives you your 10 overs in your top order, gives you flexibility for your side. But yeah, he would. I think I'd probably have him at number 5 if I had a good batting lineup.
Fair enough. We'll see where he slots in as we progress. My turn, and this is a more obvious pick. I'm going to go Sachin, 2003, opening the batting. And even though Virat broke his record for most number of runs in a single World Cup edition right now in 2023, I still think Sachin's World Cup was superior to Virat's because A, he wasn't playing at home, South African conditions, and that was really, you know, his World Cup. He was stellar in it, that innings versus Pakistan, a bunch of other innings as well. And yeah, I mean, probably the best we've seen of the little master in an ODI World Cup, I would say. So, yeah, I think fairly standard over there.
Yeah, am I going next?
Yes, you are.
So, I'm picking Mitchell Starc, 2015. He's had a couple of amazing World Cups. I think 2019 was also pretty special. But 2015, I think average of 17.40, 22 wickets, just incredible.
I think his average was better than that, Estelle, wasn't it?
Yeah, maybe like 12 or 13.
I think his average is 10.18.
Is it?
I think it's, yeah, because I think him and Mohammad Shami are the two guys who've averaged 10 at a World Cup. I might pull out another random name later. But yeah, no, it was, I think it's 2019 when he averages more. But in 2015, he averages basically nothing.
It was on my list as well.
Yeah, I
mean, that was one of the World Cup performances, right? Particularly in that the final as well, him getting McCullum. The big question for me in that tournament was whether to go with McCullum or Starc. But obviously, Starc got the pick.
Yeah, fair enough. I expected him to make this team. And I think you have another pick.
Yeah, so next up, I'm going to go with another bowler and another Australian, 2007 Glenn McGrath. 26 wickets. McGrath, again, another one who had multiple good World Cups. And he kind of gets lost in the Brett Lees and the Mitchell Johnsons and Starks. And sometimes you kind of overlook that kind of bowler, but he was consistently so good for that Australian side. So he'll be the partner to Starc in that bowling lineup.
I think he takes 21 wickets at 15 in 2003, and we already couldn't pick him in 2003. Yep. And in 2007, you could have also gone with Bracken. As you said, there's so many other guys for Australia that did well. So Bracken took 16. I think he had a bowling average of 16 and an economy of 3.6 at that tournament. So there's actually arguments to pick someone else other than McGrath. It's just the fact that 99, 2003, 2007, McGrath is just absolutely exceptional all the way through. So he has to be in this side, right? Like, I think so far, I'm the only person who's probably picked someone who just had a great World Cup, whereas you guys have picked the best players of, you know, of multiple editions.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think my next pick will surprise you guys, but just a bit on McGrath. If I had to pick him for one edition of the World Cup, it would have to be 2007. I actually had both Hayden and McGrath for 2007, depending on what we're left with. And I think it's more deserving probably that that goes to McGrath. So good pick, Estelle. All right. My next pick is from the 2023 World Cup. And you guys are never going to guess this because it's not someone from India or Australia. We're going to need a wicketkeeper at some point. And we're going to need someone to open the innings with Sachin as well. So my pick is Quinton de Kock. He scored 4 tons this World Cup. So he was quad ton de Kock. Third high scorer, 594 runs in 10 innings at 59.4. And, you know, Sachin can maybe be the aggressor in this particular opening partnership. And Quinton can kind of, you know, rotate strike and, you know, farm one end so that he can go big, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a loss there. I find it weird that in your second pick, you're already looking for a wicketkeeper. that seems to be the opposite of how all international cricket teams are picked these days, which is we get to the end and then we decide that we might need a wicketkeeper. It's very, very interesting. He had a magnificent World Cup. I do think when you look back at your picks, though, that might have been a third or fourth pick, Bayram, rather than a first or second pick, but that's okay. All right. This is interesting. So I've already done one pick, haven't I? And I have what then? Two more picks to go in this round, which will give me one pick later on. Okay. So I'm just trying to work out my maths of when I want to hold people because I do have a fun pick for later on. But let's go Aravinda de Silva, 96 here.
You stole it from under Estelle's nose and I had him over there too.
Should have been player of the tournament, but for some reason the finals didn't count as part of player of the tournament. Even then, I'm not sure Joe Saria was player of the tournament, although he had a fantastic one. But War and Tendulkar were also fantastic in that one. But de Silva, 448 runs, I think at a strike rate of like pretty good for that time. I can't remember exactly what his strike rate was, but it was pretty good. He also took 4 wickets. And I think, Estelle, you may remember, I think almost all of his wickets were in the semi in the final. Is that right?
3 came in the final, if I'm not mistaken. So
yeah. And he didn't bowl that many overs either.
Count. Like the final didn't count for the award, probably.
Just absolutely ridiculous. But that was an absolutely brilliant World Cup. And then with my third pick, I'm going to go another a middle order player, especially because we've got a bunch of openers already. But I'll go Martin Crowe. So Martin Crowe, 1992 World Cup. It's kind of forgotten how good he was because they didn't make the final, but they were the best team in that tournament all the way through, the same way that like India were in 2023. And then Martin Crowe doesn't go out on the field, and New Zealand's very carefully crafted changes. In fact, what Pat Cummins did in 2023 was what Martin Crowe wanted to do to Pakistan in 1992, which was a bowling change almost every over. And didn't go out on the field because he had his injury. And unfortunately, he called that his biggest regret in his career, that he didn't go out and just limp around on the field. But he averaged 114 with a strike rate of 90. Just a phenomenal World Cup that's kind of forgotten because of everything that Pakistan did in that tournament.
Yeah, so I had both Martin Crowe and Wasim Akram 92. I just wasn't sure which one I was going to pick. And I mean, it makes sense.
So Wasim averaged 19 with an economy of 3.75 and also was the difference. I just had Crowe just that little bit higher than him. Also, we've already got a left armer now.
Yeah, we do. So we have Stark, then we don't technically need Wasim Akram. But I think it's a good pick. I think this is a good team thus far. We've got Sachin, QDK and Martin Crowe up top, then De Silva at 4. So that's a very strong top 4 there. Then you've got Klusner as a floater thus far, and McGrath and Stark in, you know, the bowling attack. So that looks pretty decent. My next pick is again going to surprise you guys. I'm once again probably jeopardizing my picks in this entire episode. I just want this team to be really, really good. And I don't think we're going to be hard-pressed to find a spinner in this entire exercise. So I'm going to do everyone a solid and pick Afridi 2011. He took 21 wickets. Yeah. He was tied for most number of wickets with Zaheer Khan, but played one game less. He was leading Pakistan as well, absolutely instrumental with the ball. I don't think I've ever seen Afridi bowl leg spin better than the 2011 World Cup. And Pakistan also was, you know, going through a rough period at that time. They had lost some players due to spot fixing and all of that. Plus, you know, that's 10 overs of leg spin and some hard hitting lower in the lower order. So I think pretty satisfied with that pick.
Yeah, I looked up Afridi because In fact, there were two players that I thought were quite interesting. There was a Freddie Flintoff year where he took a bunch of wickets and went for no runs. And Afridi took a bunch of wickets for both no runs. And I was like, maybe these are sleepers and people are not sure about these and they've forgotten about them. But both times, neither of them had actually made any runs at all. So they were just there. In fact, Imran Khan had another a year like that as well. I think we might talk about that later. It might still come up. But all those great all-rounders had like a good year, but on one side of the ball, which shows you how special Lance Kluser was. But you're right, I looked at Afridi. The only thing that you could, you know, it probably wasn't the best 2011 season. I can see why you've picked it because we do need a spinner. And we've already missed out on probably, you know, Shane Warne's good year. I think we might have already missed out on one of Murali's good years and Brad Hogg's good years as well. So we've missed out on a couple of great spinning periods anyway. But because of what Yuvraj Singh did in 2011, he also took 15 wickets at a 25 average, went for about five runs and over, while averaging 90 and going at a strike rate of 86. So you could have, if you wanted to, gone with Yuvraj from that year. But you're right. If Pakistan had gone on to be better in that tournament, Afridi is probably the main person that we talk about from that tournament, right?
No, I had Yuvraj over here as well, and he was going to be my pick had someone picked Shane Warne. But I value leg spin higher than off spin, so I had to go with Afridi over here.
Well, obviously, because you're a mammal.
All right, Estelle, two picks for you.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, right? Because like Jared mentioned, we probably now missed the chance to pick Murali or Warne. So you have to have that spinner in. My next one, I'm going for 2019. I'm going for Jofra Archer.
Oh,
he was such a huge impact player in that tournament for England. And it was all about the batting. Yet, you know, he did such an incredible job. I think in all the games, didn't he? He was, he got close to 20 wickets at a really good strike rate, troubled most of the batters. I think this is me being biased, of course, but I think only like Avishka Fernando was able to kind of take him on and get him off to a few runs early in the innings. Other than that, he was really hard to play. And also kind of, he hasn't played that much cricket since then, right? So that was a pretty special year, I think, for him to come in and then win the World Cup as well. So that would be my third pick. Yeah,
very interesting one. You know, I hadn't really thought of impact picks, because I was going more so on the numbers, but I like this one.
No, I had him. I mean, it's a weird one because Stark had a great tournament as well, but I figured Stark would go in 2015. And obviously Rohit had a great tournament, but I had Jofra at number three. There's a couple of really good impact players if you go through World Cups who, you know, didn't act. I mean, you could make an argument for Shane Watson. I think it was at the 2015 World Cup. He makes 140 runs at a strike rate of 170 and I think bowled quite a bit as well. So, you know, there's a couple of like really good impact players there. But I mean, Jofra's probably better than that. And when it comes down to it, England don't win that World Cup if Jofra isn't available. And, you know, he was monstrous at times in that tournament. I mean, was it the Bale that he almost hit for six or something?
Yeah, I think it was Tamim or Shomya Shakar who he hit the Bale and it went for six. It happened.
it just had such a big impact. So, you could also go for Rohit in that spot as well. I think either of those would be fine.
Fair enough. All right,
I think for me, 2019, those were the three guys, right? It had to be either Stark, Rohit or Jofra.
I mean, Kane was there as well. But I had Kane as well.
Yep. Yeah. But we've already got our openers, I guess. So have to pick other players. Now, my next pick, I'm going to put someone from the Women's World Cup because I don't really have that many options for middle order or number three. So I'm going to put Charlotte Edwards at number three, 1998. She had 365 wickets and I didn't know she bowled that much, but she picked up 9 wickets as well in the tournament.
She is an absolute dog shit bowler. Like, when I first started women's cricket and I'd be watching Charlotte Edwards bowling and her getting wickets, it was so embarrassing. She's like, I'm trying to think of the it would be like Rohit Sharma getting wickets, where you'd just be like, what are people going out to this?
Doesn't Rohit have like an IPL hat trick or something?
Yeah, and that was embarrassing too. Like, do you know what I mean? And it's always off spinners. It's always rubbish. It's always batters who are really clever who can bowl crap off spin to get wickets. But yeah, she bowled what I would say high functioning shit off spin. I still don't know how she got as many wickets as she did, but no, her batting was absolutely book. I didn't know we could do women though. If I knew we could do women, that would be a whole different. There's like a million more World Cups to go for. You can't just throw a woman in suddenly.
Yeah, I did not know about that as well.
Who else am I going to pick in this team?
I mean, we can allow it.
Like, you could have picked any one of Viv Richards as many good years.
Yeah.
Remember that cricket is a funny game. 100 years before we protected our heads, players looked after their groins. So don't be as stupid as old cricketers and protect your computer today. NordVPN is the protection I use when facing cyber shortfalls or when rights issues try to dismiss me. NordVPN will help you get through the straight bat of any geo blocks so you can watch all the cricket you want. If you need your pitch changed, well, NordVPN can doctor any surface to a new location so that your IP address is set up for you to win. Want to buy an associate cricket shirt from a place that won't ship to your country? Select NordVPN. Want to watch a game on a free stream in another hemisphere? NordVPN. Or if you just want to watch a clip on social media that a cricket board won't allow you to, promote NordVPN to pinch it for you. So if you need a VPN, go Nord. Use nordvpn.com/Kimber to get a huge discount off your NordVPN plan plus 4 additional months for free. It's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. The link is in the show notes. Protect your computer like a cricketer protects its nether region with NordVPN today. Thanks to the kind folks at FlexiSpot for looking after my office and my butt by sending me their E7 Pro desk that save your favorite desk heights at a touch of a button. You don't have to crank anything. This thing just finds the height that you like and you can work. And their BS12 Pro chair that supports my posterior while I'm recording, well, this ad and all my shows. If you need great desks, especially ones that change heights or the best quality chairs, head on over to FlexiSpot.
I had Viv 1979 over there, but I'm thinking now, because it's my pick, and we need someone else to bowl 10 overs. And I am perplexed over here. We could go Kapil Dev 1983, and we could go Imran Khan 1987, because I think that was the best of Imran in World Cups. He wasn't the same bowler, or wasn't really a bowler at all, pretty much, in 92. But I feel like it would be unfair on Kapil. Even though I would rate Imran 1987 higher, maybe as an all-round cricketer, I think just based on the World Cup that Kapil had, being captain, and then that 175 versus Zimbabwe, I think he gets the nod over here, and I'll go Kapil Dev 1983.
Plus, he takes the catch of Viv in the final, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, he plays a huge part. I'll tell you the difference is that Imran Khan never really had a World Cup where he was great with the bat and the ball at the same time. Like, that's what I was looking for. I assume there must have been a year, but I think in 83 he didn't bowl. Was he, was it 83 that he didn't bowl, but he made a lot of runs, I think. And then in 87, he's quite handy, but I think Kapil is just a better all-rounder in 83. It is hard to tell because he makes 303 runs and 175 are in one innings.
Yeah.
But you do go through, and there were some other knocks that he had in that time as well. You know, Imran is just unlucky not to make this list. Imran's kind of like one of the, if you look at him from World Cups, he should have really had a great World Cup in 75, 79, 83, 87. And in the end, the great World Cup he has in 92 when he's basically 140 years old. So we never really had a peak Imran World Cup, but he did bowl brilliantly in 1987, had a bowling average of 13 in that. But I think Kapil Dev is a normal and safe pick to go ahead of him there.
All right. So last pick, Jared. This is technically the 12th man, but we can juggle around the players and come up with an 11 once you're done with this.
If it's a 12th man, I'm not going to pick Viv because that's just ridiculous.
Pick Viv and we can move someone else to 12th man.
No, I want to pick someone who I think actually should be the 12th.
Fair enough.
And also is a player who is only famous for a World Cup and then is only famous for like two games in a World Cup. So I don't know how much, I don't even know how much either of you will know about this player. Gary Gilmore.
Heard the name.
Is that even... So Gary Gilmore might have played the most fantastic game that anyone ever played in a World Cup, where he essentially beats England on his own I'm just trying to get up his figures here. It was he took 6 for 14.
Right. Wow.
And he's just swinging the ball around like crazy. And then he comes out and also scores the runs to get Australia. It was a really tough pitch. And Australia weren't chasing very many. And they lost a bunch of wickets. And then Gary Gilmore, having already taken 6 for 14, has to come out and do really well. And then he does really well in the following game as well. And so he ends up in that World Cup with a bowling average of 5.63. in two games, and he was the leading wicket taker in the World Cup, despite only playing the two games for Australia. So it was a real Mohammed Shami-like performance. Mm. And Gary Gilmore was one of those players who probably in T20 cricket is like a James Faulkner-type player, or, you know, what, you know, an Andre Russell-type player. And never had the ability to do that, played in the wrong era. All these different things happened to him. So he's a perfect 12th man, because there's no player here that you would move out for him. But at the same time, in 1975, he kind of, you know, was the story. And I, you know, Colas King is another interesting one, of course, because of what he did in the World Cup final. Viv Richards is another one. Glenn Turner had a really, really big tournament. I think we covered all the modern tournaments, though, didn't we? It was just the, I think it was just the 70s ones. And so realistically, I think, it's probably Gary Gilmore is the one who deserves the slot in, just for the randomness and the fact that he's, you know, he's on the bench. He's fine. He's, look, if he gets a game, he'll be happy, right? And he's probably not going to get a game in this one. But yeah, absolutely fantastic cricketer.
Yeah, awesome. All right, let's, before I actually go through the team and we can kind of see where everyone fits, I want to give a shout out to, what was his name? Damn, I forgot his name.
I think you said his name was Governor Bandicoot.
Right, Governor Bandicoot. No relation to Crash Bandicoot. And he actually suggested this episode of Crick Picks in the very first episode. He was there in the comments on YouTube. So you guys should know that if you leave a comment on YouTube, maybe your idea gets picked next. But fantastic idea. All of us were on board almost instantly. And yeah, I mean, I think we've made a pretty good team over here, Jared.
Yeah, I think you went very, very role definition, mm-hmm. I think. I think Estelle probably wins this one. Although the Charlotte Edwards pick is so rogue. And also it's from a World Cup before women were even on TV.
Yeah.
So she might lose some votes there. You've got Sachin and Kapil, Bayram, which I like. It's not a bad team at all. I feel like I've got the most World Cup-y team, if that makes sense. Like, you guys have got a lot more legends in your side, and I'm just like, what about Gary Gilmore and Aravinda De Silva? I'm going to start with Lance Klusner, you filthy animals. But it's interesting, isn't it? And I think you could come up, and I don't think our team is wrong, but I think you could come up with a really interesting second string lineup here, where you could have McCullum and Warne and Stark. Viv Richards, Wasim, yeah, that was, you know, Hadley, Imran. So, there's a really good second team, but to be honest, these are players who have had some fantastic World Cups. So I think it's more than fair, all in. How did you guys find working it? I found it really hard to kind of work out how to put it together, like mentally. It wasn't as easy as some of the other drafts.
I picked like two players from each World Cup. That's how I did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had like five from like one World Cup. And then like, and yeah, like I had so many players from the 96 World Cup that I was like, okay, I'm going to go back and just work out two from each World Cup and go from there. But had I known the Women's World Cup was on offer, all things would have changed. But again, Estelle just calling an audible there.
Yeah. All right, let's look at this team then. Opening the batting, we've got Sachin Tendulkar, 2003, and Quinton de Kock, 2023. At first drop, do we have Charlotte Edwards, 98 then?
Well, I can't remember where Martin Crowe batted. You could easily have one of them at three and one at four, and then Aravinda at five, and Lance at six, right?
Yeah, so that'll be the top five. Sachin, QDK, Charlotte Edwards, Martin Crowe, and Aravinda De Silva. And then you've got your all-rounders in Kapil Dev, Lance Klusner, and Shahid Afridi. So this is a very deep batting lineup and also explosive. So it could fit the bill for the modern game as well, pretty much. And then in the bowlers or out-and-out bowlers, you've got Mitch Stark, Glenn McGrath, and Jofra Archer. So two of those guys can bat too.
Well, Ish. Okay, so Estelle's gone. Stark, McGrath, Archer, Charlotte Edwards. So that is what? 2015, 2007, 1998. So Sachin Tendulkar's 2000. This is you, Bayram, isn't it? Sachin Tendulkar 2003. Quinton de Kock 2023. Shahid Afridi 2011. And Kapil Dev 1983. And I've gone Lance Klusner 1999. Aravinda De Silva 1996. Martin Crowe 92. And Gary Gilmore 75. Please tell us who got this right and who got this wrong, and come up with your own 11s as well, and try and work it out. It's slightly trickier once you start to do this. I can't believe Viv isn't on anyone's list.
Yeah,
though, but I do.
He was on my list. Estelle. She took Charlotte Edwards, so I was like, okay, now I have to pick someone who has to bowl 10 overs. Yes. Otherwise, Viv was my next.
It's a good team.
Pick. Yeah,
it's a fantastic team. But
is Gary Gilmore alive, Jared?
Is Gary Gilmore alive? That's a
good question.
I think so. I mean, I want to say yes. No, he died in 2014.
Rest in peace.
He doesn't get... If he would have been so happy to make this list.
That's what I was going to say. If he's watching, that he would have been chuffed that he made it here. And I mean, if there could be potential descendants of Gary Gilmore who are watching this podcast, well, there you have it. Proper shout out there. And he made it ahead of Viv. So that's something you can tell your grandchildren now.
Exactly. Do you want to know how many ODIs he played in total?
Gary Gilmore? Is it like 12?
Five.
Ah.
But two of them were great in a World Cup. And, isn't that what this is all about? Mm-hmm. Putting in random selections that will annoy people on YouTube.
Yeah, rogue picks are what we're all about. But anyway, that wraps up this episode, of course. Like Jared mentioned, leave your teams in the comments section below and tell us which one of us had the best picks. We'll be back next week with Crick Picks Episode 6. That's all for now. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bayram Kazi and Estelle Vasudevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recording. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. Do you make content but don't want to listen to yourself talk? Well, I get that. Memento FM's AI does all the listening for you. It picks out the highlights and it makes you sound far more amazing than you really are. Embrace Memento FM today.